you don't want a dry sermon. Continue our series this month on generosity. Each week that we've gathered together, we've made this statement, and it's a truth, that generosity brings abundance. I'm going to say it again. Generosity brings abundance. Let's all say it together. Let's stir this up in our hearts. Let's make sure this is very deep. We know this. Generosity brings abundance. Not just abundance for you to pat yourself on the back and say, look at all that God has done to bless me, but it's generosity that brings abundance so that you can always share the love of God with the people who are in need. You are blessed to be a blessing. It's generosity that brings abundance so that you can give like Jesus, so that you can love like Jesus. Jesus came for a specific purpose, and his purpose was abundance. He says in John chapter 10, I've come that you might have life, but not just a minimal life, not just a get-by life. I've come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he wants. He wants abundance multiplied by abundance. And this is so important that we understand abundance and we understand generosity, because it goes right to the heart of the way that we see God. Do we see God lacking? Do we see him like, well, that pitcher of water? There's only so much of God to go around. And that when he blesses someone else, well, he's got a little less for me. So we can only use little cups of blessing. This is the tiniest cup. I don't know what we use these for in the church, but I found it. Or I always get amused by this. A church says, God is really over at our church. Come. I'm going, well, God is also at every church, isn't he? He's not a pitcher. He's not lack or limited. God is oceanic. What I'm trying to say is, he's not a pitcher. If you go to the edge of the Gulf of Mexico and you look out, you can't see the other side. Now, theoretically, you know it's there. But when you get a vision of God, he is oceanic. There is no end to his abundance. So now that affects us, because when we catch that vision of God and we get God's love in our heart, it expands our heart. So our love, our generosity, our grace is not pitcher-shaped, only so much to go around. Our love, our generosity becomes oceanic. We have 4 children. And we didn't have to love anyone less as other children came along. It just grew. When someone new comes to the fellowship, when they join this spiritual family, we don't have to love you less to love them. Love just grows because it is abundant. And at the core of that abundance, at the center of the universe, is an incredibly generous, abundant God. And when you understand that, well, generosity grows. Paul is writing to his friends in 2 Corinthians in the 9th chapter, which is the passage of scripture we're in today. And he's encouraging them to be generous. Just like we this month are encouraging thoughtful generosity. And in your study guide, there are verses there. We'll just read the passage that Paul writes. I'm reading from a version of the Bible called The Message. If the verses are a little different than you're used to, or maybe this is the version you read regularly. 2 Corinthians. Here's Paul writing to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, remember, stingy planters. A stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. Which of those would you like to be? I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and to make up your own mind. What will you give? That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. Because God really loves it when the giver delights in giving. Verse 10. This most generous God, not lacking, not limited, not a pitcher sized, this oceanic, this massive, this generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. See Paul's vision of God? Not small, huge. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way. I love that little phrase, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us. The end result of generosity is that God is glorified and God is praised. Let the church say amen. A few truths from this passage. One is we all need to understand and remember that we live in a sowing and reaping world. If you got a note in your study guide, pull it out. Just note this. We live in a sowing and reaping world. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, hey, as you sow, it's how you're going to reap. He says in the verse we just read, you give stingily, small reward. You give lavishly, abundant reward. This is a universal law. The Bible calls it, the ancients call it sowing and reaping. Science calls it cause and effect. Physics calls it causality. It means as you drive up to this building today and you look at the building that we are worshiping in right now, you know there was a cause. You know in your heart, this stuff didn't just fall into place from the heavens. There was a cause. In fact, people gathered together behind that cause. They were generous. They were sacrificial. The only reason that we are here today is because of a cause that has brought about the effect. Do you know someone paid for the chair you're sitting in? Aren't you thankful? Or should we all get on the floor? No. Every cause has, this is, and it touches every part of our life. You would not be alive if it wasn't for sowing and reaping. Did you eat breakfast? Anyone eat breakfast? Anyone? Anyone eat yesterday? The day before? Have you eaten regularly? What did you have this morning? What was for breakfast? Eggs? Yeah. I came early yesterday. We had breakfast, Chick-fil-A breakfast. There's none available on Sundays. So we had chicken, eggs, come from the same source, just one is more sacrificed than the other. Bacon, that's all in too. Bacon is all in too. Chicken, ate grain, that's how that chicken got to be a chicken, fully large enough chicken for them to like give to me a Chick-fil-A. The grain came from the field, it was seed that was planted, that was harvested. There would be no Chick-fil-A without sowing and reaping. There would be no coffee. Because those coffee brown liquid comes from a bean that is grown, which is a seed, and it grows. You should be thankful for sowing and reaping. It works in school, education. If you don't sow studying, you will not reap the best marks. Come on, I thought there'd be an amen. Somebody knows that's true because somebody didn't study one time and said, man, this is not working. It works in relationships. If I want to have a harvest of love in my relationship, with my beloved Darla, I have to sow into her the good and the pure and the positive, because I find what I sow into the relationship is what grows in the relationship and what I enjoy in the relationship. It works in every aspect. It works in our financial world. Our staff right now is going through a course called the Financial Peace University. It is a course that everyone in the church should go through, especially if you paid any interest on a credit card bill last month. You're all looking, that's not me, that's not, it's somebody else. It teaches in our financial world that you've got to learn how to save, you've got to learn how to invest, you've got to learn how to give so that you'll have peace in your home. You've got to sow in order to reap peace in your home. It's amazing how lucky hardworking people are. It's amazing. Because they sow. So I guess one of the questions we ask is, well, what kind of harvest do we want to produce? And then we want to sow the right kind of seed to get the harvest we want. For example, in our home and family, we decided that we wanted a peaceful home. We did not want our home to be a war zone. We wanted shalom in the home. So we decided, well, words are like seeds, and there are certain words in our home that were illegal. Words like shut up. Because it's very difficult to say shut up in a loving way. I know it's possible, but I would say 9 times out of 10 it's said in anger. And we didn't want to grow an angry house. So we just said, okay, that word's illegal. We're not saying that one. In fact, if our kids said something negative, like you're stupid or you're dumb, if they said negative words were illegal, and if you sowed a negative word, then you would have to say 5 positive affirming words, sometimes 10. If we got really serious, 15 nice things. So say 15 nice things right now. Why? Because we wanted to grow a peaceful home. So I guess the question, what kind of future do you want? Because what you sow today, you are going to live in tomorrow. We live in a sowing world. But it's not enough, beloved friends, to just know that concept. Let's talk about number two. It takes discipline in order to sow. You have to be disciplined to do. Sowing doesn't just happen. It has to be intentional. The farmer doesn't wake up one day, hit himself on the head and go, wow, the back 40 is fully seeded. No, he has to get up early. My grandfather was a farmer. Get up early, work late, discipline. And that's exactly what Paul says. As soon as he talks about receiving lavishly, he gives these instructions. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over. Thoughtful. Not emotional response, not arm twisting when it comes to generosity. I want you to think it over and make up in your own mind. Come to a resolution in your own mind so that you will be protected against sob story giving or arm twisting giving. And I say, when we talk about generosity, if you ever feel like someone is twisting your arm, just hold on. But come to a place of disciplined giving, because God loves it when the giver delights in giving. When you learn the delight of discipline. Now this works, again, every area of life. There's a discipline in life that brings a harvest. For example, if my alarm clock goes off before the sun gets up, before most people up, my alarm clock goes off. And my body can say, just 5 more minutes, which can become half an hour very easily. But I've got to discipline myself to get to my workout, because I've decided I would like to have a harvest of health. But a harvest of health doesn't just happen, it has to have discipline. I don't want to be winded walking up the stairs with my grandchildren. I'm not getting many amens, but I'm preaching here. I want to have good health, not just for my children and my grandchildren. I want to have good health for my great-grandchildren that I haven't even met yet. So I'm going to decide now to be disciplined today to get the harvest I want many years from now. Okay, let's go to a very practical one. Let's talk about desserts. A nervous laughter goes through the crowd. Here's a question. Some of you have struggled with discipline. Here's a question. This question helps you to stay on track with your discipline. Here's the question. You got a pen, you should write this down. It is worth being here today just for this question. It's worth it. Do I want better? Do I want better? So when my alarm clock goes off early in the morning and it's dark and nobody else is up yet, and my body says 5 more minutes, I ask myself the question, do I want better? Yes, I do. I want to have good health. I've got to invest my workout so I can have good health. Now we come to the dessert table and you ask the same question, do I want better? And it's not for a better dessert. I'm not against desserts. I eat them from time to time. But how many know it is possible to have too much dessert? Empty calories. Do I want better? Do I want to understand that food is a fuel? I got to discipline to have more strength. How about this one? When my wife asks me to go shopping, not for personal confession, not the most energizing activity for me. Darla loves shopping. Darla thinks that shopping is possibly a spiritual gift that she has. It's not in the Bible, but she thinks she has it. So, do you want to go shopping? Question. Do I want better? Do I want a better relationship with Darla? Am I willing to sow the activity of shopping I hope you're tracking on this one, so that I can reap a more productive, fulfilled relationship, because it's spending time with her doing something she wants. And I've got to sow it to grow it. I've got to have been disciplined to do it. And that's exactly what Paul is inviting us to do through this passage of Scripture. There was a need in the church, and he's saying, listen, I just want to talk to you. I want to invite you to thoughtfully, not emotionally, not through arm twisting, I want you to thoughtfully think about the discipline of giving. I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus asks all of us and says to all of us, hey, you ought to tithe. Because there's a discipline in tithing. It's not emotional for us. It's very easy for us to calculate. When we have increased in our life, we take a 10%, we take a tithe, and we give it to the Lord. We don't even pray about it. What should I tithe? No, we just do it. Because it's a discipline. Tithing is a discipline. But I promise you, I absolutely promise you, that if you understand that we live in a sowing and reaping world, and you dare to be disciplined in this area, I absolutely promise you that you will live a life of incredible abundance. Because generosity brings abundance. It's exactly what Paul said. Disciplined sowing brings great abundance. Disciplined sowing brings great abundance. Paul, in verse 10, says, this most generous God, you can see how he views God, not a God of lack and limitation, but a God of abundance. This great generous God who gives seed to the farmer, that's you, that's me, we are all in the farming business, whether you knew it or not. He gives seed to the farmer so that bread, you have bread for your meals. He's providing for you. But when a farmer has seed, he doesn't eat all his seed. He takes seed and he plants it. He puts it in the ground so that you will be able to have an extravagance inside of you. Look, verse 10 continues. He gives you something so that you can give it away. One of the reasons that God blesses you and one of the reasons for abundance is so that you can give it away. Because, here's the result, it grows fully formed, robust lives that are, I love this, wealthy in every way. Let's all just say that, wealthy in every way. I know people that are wealthy in finances, but weak and poor in relationships, and ultimately they're poor. I know people that are wealthy in finances, but weak in emotional health, and they're poor. Wealth is not just measured in finances, and God's kind of wealth, God's kind of abundance makes us wealthy in every way. That's His desired outcome for your life, that you would be emotionally wealthy, that you would be spiritually wealthy, that you would be prosperous in your resources. Why? So that when a need exists, you're able to participate. If we just had all the interest charges that you guys paid to MasterCard and Visa, that's a fantasy right there. It's just true. It takes discipline. I'm just teaching. You'll be wealthy in every way so that you can be generous, so that you can be generous in every way. Because that disciplined kind of life makes you generous in every way, and that produces a great praise to God. So we're praying this month together as we talk about generosity. We also have an application. That's why the envelopes are on your seat, because it's an application of the teaching. Because we can all go, yeah, that's true. We live in a sowing and reaping. Yeah, I do need to be disciplined. Then we also want to challenge you to sacrificially come to a moment, not through arm twisting, not through some emotional, gut-wrenching story, but just through revelation, knowledge, and a desire to move into the very truths that the scriptures are teaching us. So last week, I quickly, before I came out, I was just going, you know, that's $100,000 above our regular tithes. We're just praying for some extreme generosity. And I said, okay, here's what it would take. And I said some amounts, which would be sacrificed for different types of people. And I got a lot of emails this week that said, what were those numbers again? What were they? I'm praying about what our giving is. So I'm just going to go over them quickly again. And just because each level is a sacrifice for somebody. And this may not be how it works out. One person could give it all. That would be lovely. But we don't know. But I just broke it down like this. One person giving $10,000. And there's a commitment for that. And I thank God for that. Two people giving $5,000. I had one person this week send me a message, say, hey, we're gonna be one of those people. Maybe you could be the other one and join at that level. And for some people, that's sacrificial giving. For some of you go, can people even give that much? I'm going to tell you, you don't get to that level without discipline, without saving, without investing, and without giving. Would take 10 people in the fellowship through all of our services and locations, 10 people giving $2,500. That would be a sacrifice for some people. 20 people giving $1,000. That would be a sacrificial gift for some person. For some person, it's $500. That would be a sacrificial gift. It would take 30 people deciding, hey, I'm going to be one of those people. It would take 40 people giving $250. And the first message of the series, we heard how an 11-year-old girl gave a sacrificial gift, because at 11 years old, $100 was a huge sacrifice, and it would take 100 people doing that. So there's a different level for each person. But the promise, the ancient promise of Scripture is that that brings generosity. But it's not just the ancient the ancient practice of Scripture. Research. Dr. Arthur Brooks, who's a professor at the University of Syracuse, researched American generosity. And he found out, and he reported, he researched it over a decade. Here's a scientific, professorial approach. He researched generosity over a decade and came to the conclusion that Americans are very generous people. And I think we're known around the world as very generous people. 225 million Americans give. They give. But interestingly enough, there is another group of Americans that are uncharitable. 250 million give. 75 million give nothing. 130 million never volunteer their time for anything. And he was trying to figure out the difference. Well, why is that? And it wasn't based on race or ethnicity or gender or age. It was based upon their beliefs. And the number one belief that caused people to move into generosity was their belief in God. Then we go, well, is it true that if you sow, so also shall you reap? And here is his report. He writes, giving is good for those getting the help and a hand. But does it have any benefit on the giver? Citing a correlation between charity and concepts of personal well-being, Dr. Brooks concluded that happiness, health, and income coexist in a self-reinforcing cycle. Do you hear him say this? Listen, a self-reinforcing cycle. What is that? A self-reinforcing cycle is a new way of saying sowing and reaping, cause and effect. It results in a self-reinforcing cycle with charity. The result is that happy, healthy, successful, opportunity-minded people are most likely to give and to volunteer. And at the same time, charitable people are more likely than uncharitable people to be happy, healthy, and financially prosperous. Yes, prosperous people are more likely to give to charity, and charity is more likely to make them prosperous. The Bible is true, scientifically true. Because I know some, when we bring this up, there's always like, that's okay. No arm twisting. But I promise you, if you understand these truths, if you go, if your heart is gets so filled with the love of God, so you don't see God's love as running out, and you're living like a little cup. But if you understand God's love is oceanic and you start to open up and receive God's love in that huge way, it just does something to elevate your own generosity and your own spirit of giving and your own spirit of just loving people the way that God does. And that's our prayer. Our prayer, like Paul's prayer for his friends long ago, is that you would be wealthy in every way. Let the church say amen. If that's what you want. I unashamedly want that. I unashamedly say, that's me, I want that. Sign me up for that. And that comes through just a spirit of understanding. Oh yeah, the world works on this principle. Your breakfast worked on this principle. Your coffee worked on this principle. Your bank is working on this principle. Your work is on this principle. You work, and then they compensate you, right? That's how it works. But then to put that into practice, beloved brothers and sisters, it takes discipline. I said everyone in the church should go through Financial Peace University. I really think that. Listen, if you can't have the discipline to go through the course, you will not have the discipline to bring your financial world into peace. It's just true. So we go, yes, I read it. Yes, God. But as your friend, I'm just going, man, I wish you could decide that you want better. I want better. Do you want better? That's the motivator. Do you want better? And then to just receive. My prayer constantly for you is that you'll receive the results of this way of living, that generosity would bring incredible abundance, so that you could love like Jesus and give like Jesus and live like Jesus, because that's what the world needs. Jesus, people walking on the planet, and when there's a need, they go, I could help with that, because I've lived my life in such a way that I'm walking in the abundance of God, and I can help that. That's my prayer, in Jesus' name. So, let's pray together, okay? Let's close our eyes, open our hearts. And my first prayer, of course, would be that you would receive this incredible oceanic love of God. That you capture a vision of this God who is not stingy towards you. He's not saying, I can't grace your life because there's only so much grace to go around, and some people are more deserving and I don't want to run out. No, no, there is enough grace for you today. If you want to connect with God, you want to start a relationship with God, this is your moment to do that. I invite everyone here to join in a prayer of opening your heart to the power and the person of Jesus Christ. Some praying it for the first time. Some praying it for the first time in a long time. Some have been far away from God, but it's not God's desire for you to be far away from Him one more moment. He wants you to be so close. He wants you to receive His love. He wants you to be in the family of God, walking in the family of God, growing in the family of God. And this kind of prayer starts that. So here it is. Let's pray it out loud together. Lift your voice with mine and all those around you and pray out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name and I open my heart to Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. I turn away from them and I receive your love, God, your mercy. Help me to be filled with the love of God and to give that love to others. Help me to understand you better, God, and to follow you every day. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Let's all stand together. Can we do that? Our prayer team is going to come immediately to pray over needs that are in this place. Physical, financial, spiritual, relational needs. And I'm going to invite you, whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit is here right now. And we're praying that the power of God will change things, because God answers prayer, and prayer is very, very important to us. And so whatever the Holy Spirit is doing in you, or whatever you need, maybe it's a healing, we'll anoint you with oil according to the scriptures and pray for healing. Maybe you just need to get your finances in order. That's a good, Lord, here's a prayer. Your finances are messed up, just come and say, Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom so I can save better, invest better, give better. I just need wisdom, God. That's a good prayer. And while people are receiving whatever the Holy Spirit has for you to receive, there are communion tables today if you'd like to receive communion. On the right and left-hand side, the bread of the Lord, the cup of the Lord. As you do this in remembrance of Jesus, put your mind on Jesus and thank Him for what He did for you on the cross. If you've been a guest with us today, we're so thankful you came. We bless you. And if you've never stopped by our VIP room, because you are a VIP, we just want to give you some gifts, get to know you. It's over on the left-hand side at the back of this room, and we just like to bless you. I'm going to pray one more prayer of blessing, and after this prayer, there's no other benediction. You can come and pray. You can receive communion. You can worship. The worship team will be worshiping, and you can join in. You can go with the grace of God. But I pray as you go, that you'd go in a spirit of generosity. You'd go, especially in this month of Thanksgiving, when we sit around and go, man, God has blessed us so much. And I always just pray there would be some giving in the thanks, because that fulfills that equation. So here's my prayer. Those that would like to receive this special blessing, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and open your hands to your Heavenly Father. Just in a receiving position. This is a biblical form of prayer. Lord, here are your sons and your daughters, and they're open to you. This is an outward sign of an inward truth. I'm open to you, God. pour your love upon them. Pour your wisdom upon them. Pour your revelation upon them. Come, Holy Spirit, right now, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, fill them with all that you are. Let people be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be with our prayer team, Lord. May the anointing, the unction of the Holy Spirit be upon them, that they will pray and the gifts of the Holy Spirit will flow. There will be wisdom, there will be knowledge, there will be healings, there will be freedom and deliverance, because you're going to answer some big prayers today, God. Thank you for the communion. Bless the bread of the Lord and the cup of the Lord. In Jesus' name, and I pray that you would be blessed, my friend. In fact, I bless you in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Good to be together. We love you so much. We're so glad we'll see you again. But please come forward for prayer and for communion, and the blessing of the Lord be with you.